right, everybody take your Bibles and stand, please. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We'll read this passage responsively. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let's finish on verse 5. Ready? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for our church, Lord, our young people. Lord, what a wonderful blessing it is in such an evil and wicked world to have young people that care about doing right, that live right, live pure. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Challenge us all. Lord, we all need to hear from you, and the truth is applicable to all of us. Father, please use our preacher. Encourage his heart as he encourages ours. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Tonight we read from Philippians chapter number 2. The sermon that I'll preach, again, will be directed toward these high school graduates. Just a few days from now, they'll receive a diploma. And I want to remind all of them, you've spent all these years now working on your mind. And I want you to continue to do that. Tonight's sermon is called, Use Your Mind Right. Use it right. Earlier, when we read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, four times in five verses, God mentions the mind. The mind. Uses the word like-minded. Three other times it just uses that single word, mind. Now, let me tell you, you may think, boy, I'm glad this is over with. This is not the end. This is really the beginning. You've been spending these years preparing for life. Now you've been living life, but boy, you're about to launch. And you're about to see either some wonderful things or maybe even some terrible things. Yet a lot of it's going to depend on what you do with your mind. Your mind. The mind is an incredible thing. When you use it right, it can do great things. And it can do great things for the cause of right. But if you use it for wrong, it can do great harm. What you do with your mind is probably going to make or break you in life. Your mind is like a vast territory. And God wants you to give that territory to Him. Now, on the other hand, Satan wants to claim all your mind's territory for himself. We might say the mind is a battlefield. You need to win that battle, and you need to conquer that land for the cause of Christ and for your own personal success. Your mind's a bit like a gold mine. The question is, who's going to be the miner? Is it going to be God that has access to the riches in your mind, or will the devil tap into it and use those things for himself? The Bible gives us many examples of the misuse of the mind. Let me remind you of some of them. Romans chapter 8, verse number 6, it speaks of someone being carnally minded. Now, a carnal mind is prone to sin, and it has sinful appetites, and a carnal mind eventually produces death in life. A carnal mind will bring death to your dreams, and death to your morality, and death to your happiness. But the Bible speaks of a carnal mind in Romans 8, 6. In Daniel chapter 5, verse number 20, it speaks of a mind that is hardened in pride. The story is when Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up because of his position in life, and the result was his mind was hardened in pride. Don't let your mind get hard in pride. Don't let your mind become a carnal mind. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 29, it speaks of a doubtful mind. A mind that does not exercise faith in God's word. Now, what we don't want you to do is we don't want you to ruin your mind. You've got a mind. You've been developing that mind. It's very valuable. You've got to use your mind right. But to use your mind right, you don't want to let your mind become a carnal mind. You don't want to let your mind be hardened in pride. You don't want to let your mind become a doubtful mind where you don't trust God. Listen, I love education. But if your education ever causes you to doubt God, then your education's hurting you. Nobody should be educated to the point that they don't need God. That really, that's not making you smarter then, that's making you dumber. The smarter you get, the more you look to God. Luke chapter 12, verse number 29, it speaks of that doubtful mind, and that's a lack of faith in God. And then Romans 1:28 speaks of a reprobate mind. Meaning it's a pretty worthless mind. Meaning not able to tell right from wrong. It's so corrupt. Don't let that happen to you. Don't have a reprobate mind. Don't have a doubtful mind. Don't have a mind hardened in pride. Don't have a mind that is carnal. Then in Acts chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, it speaks of minds that were evil, and they were evil affected against the brethren. Someone who is slanderous against other people. Don't use your mind to hurt other people. In Philippians 3:19, it speaks of those who mind earthly things. In other words, they're more attached to the things in this world than the things in heaven. Now, there's not any problem with having things, but you want to make sure you never fall in love with things more than you fall in love with Jesus. You see, you'll be out of school, and some of you'll go to college, you'll get jobs, you'll earn money. You ought to be careful, though. Don't let a lust for things keep you from having a lust for God. You've got to keep that in the forefront of your mind. You see, the Bible tells us that we could be carnally minded. It tells us our minds could be hardened in pride. It tells us that we could have doubtful minds. The Bible says we could have reprobate minds. The Bible says we could have minds that are evil affected against the brethren. The Bible says our minds can become a mind full of earthly desires. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, it speaks of those who are soon shaken in mind. In other words, they're not doctrinally rooted and stable. Young people, the things that your parents have taught you and your Christian schools taught you and your church has taught you and your Sunday school teachers have taught you, those things from the Bible, you sink your roots deep into those things. Don't let anything in life shake your belief in the doctrines of the Bible. James chapter 1, verse number 8, it actually even then talks about someone that's double-minded. Oh, they've got divided loyalties in regard to their belief, and they're unstable. It's almost as if somebody has a two-faced mind. One moment they'll serve God, the next moment they won't. Don't let that happen to you. Your mind is going to help you with what we will call your hope. What you do with your mind is going to determine a lot with what God will do with you. And God's word is to be the primary influence on your mind. I just want to tell you, those things are the things that could be a part of our misuse of our mind. The misuse by letting our mind becoming carnal, our misuse by letting our mind become hardened in pride, a misuse of our mind by allowing it to become doubtful, the misuse of our mind by allowing it to become reprobate or evil affected against the brethren, where we get ourselves to the point where we're minding earthly things more than the things of God, or that we'll be soon shaken in mind and not solid on our doctrine, our belief, or that we're double-minded, we can't figure out, are we going to serve God or are we not? Those things could cause us to misuse our minds. But if I could, I want to give you the description of a good mind for a little while, and this is the main purpose of the sermon tonight. I've looked up the word mind over and over and over again in the Bible. I've picked some of them that I think are going to help us. Let me say, first of all, young people, you have to have a mind to work. You have to have a mind to work. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. This is the story of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. Instead, the people had a mind to work. Now, there's no way around it, young people. You've got to work hard. There's no way around it. You know, I don't know. We have some people with very high grade point averages, and I'm glad. And they've worked hard to get there. But let me tell you something. Nothing replaces hard work. Nothing in the world. You say, well, I'm a pretty fast runner. I can throw a ball pretty far. We have to learn to work no matter what. That's just bottom line. No matter what our talents, no matter what our abilities, there's no greater ability than the ability to work. That'll get you out of the jam. Some of you say, well, preacher, I didn't get very good grades. You can make up for the grade and the lack of the grade by just being a hard worker. Hard work will make a difference in life. No work, no success. A little work, a little success. Big work, big success. That's how it works. God honors work. Even when opposition comes, there are going to be times when to work is hard and to find work is hard. You just keep working. You've got to have a mind to work, young people. Never lose that. Never lose that. Don't become a part of this lazy generation and I want something for nothing and a mentality that everybody ought to take care of me and meet my needs. You work hard, and that's how God created us. He wants us to have a mind to work. My dad used to say, and you've heard it said before, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Just keep working hard. Number two, the Bible tells us that we should have a mind that is stayed on God. Isaiah 26, verse number 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Our minds, young people, should be anchored in the Word of God. It says our minds are to be stayed on God. And the result is if your mind is stayed on God, it's attached, it's locked into God. The Bible says, whose mind is stayed on thee, it says, and thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. There's a certain peace in life that you will have, even during the storms of life, if your mind is stayed on God. And that word stayed means you stay with God, you're anchored in God, you're locked in on God. You're just not going to let this thing of God get out of your sight. You're going to hang on to it. You are to have a mind to work. And then you're to keep your mind stayed on God. Thirdly, I want you to have a mind full of hope. Lamentations 3:21 and 22 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Hope, I often think of this as a definition. Hope is the belief that there is something good yet to come. When everything's falling apart, hope is saying everything may be falling apart, but I just know there's something good on the horizon. And young people, I hate it for you, but you will face burdens. You're going to face heartaches. Most of the time in life, you grow up and you watch mom and dad face it, and you don't think that you're going to. You're going to face it. Somebody here is going to have struggles in relationships, and somebody here is going to have struggles in their health, and somebody here is going to have difficulties in life. Don't lose your hope. Have a mind of hope. No matter what, on that darkest day of your life, when you feel like it's so gloomy and so dark and you feel all alone, you have a mind of hope and you say, there's got to be good yet to come. And as long as we're still living, God kept us alive for a purpose, and that means there is yet good to come. You need that hope. Not only have it for yourself, but have it for others. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll go through life and when you meet other people and life's tough and things are down for them, give them some hope. Our minds need to have spiritual hope. Don't become a negative person in life. Be an optimist for Jesus, if you will. But you need a mind full of hope. You see, we need a mind to work. We need our minds to be stayed on God. We need our minds to be filled with hope. And then please, let's all work at having a humble mind. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. See, a humble mind continues to learn. Because a humble mind says, I don't know everything I'm supposed to know. You know, I've actually watched people get out of high school. They put the books away and they stop reading. They stop paying attention. They think, I got my 12 years of education and I'm done. Let's learn all the way to the grave. Your mind is so vast. Your mind is so capable. Keep on learning. Whatever you do, do not let your mind become arrogant. Do not let your mind become prideful. Do not let your mind impress itself. Keep learning. Hey, every church service, come to church like a little bird looking for a worm and say, I want some more. Give me some more. I want to learn more. Hey, keep reading. Don't forget the things you've learned. There are many, many people that they learn, they get out of school, and they almost put the learning process aside, think it's not important anymore. We should learn and learn and learn and learn. a humble mind realizes everything that you've learned came from somebody else and you need to pass it on. And a humble mind does not get too smart to keep learning. And a humble mind never gets too smart for God and God's textbook and God's instruction book. Let's all keep humble minds. God said you need a mind to work. God said you need a mind that's anchored or stayed on me. And God said you need a mind that's full of hope. So when the chips are down, you realize you're going to get another shot at something. You need a humble mind. The Bible uses the word a sound mind. S-O-U-N-D, sound. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." There are a lot of ways that that word sound there could be defined. I think a sound mind is a disciplined mind. I think a sound mind is a mind that with some clear spiritual judgment. A sound mind, you've got to be careful with your mind. You've got to use your mind, and you've got to make sure you use it wisely. Let me tell you something about just being sound in life. Think before you act. I think every one of us would succeed in life if we would just think before we act. You know where we get ourselves in trouble? It's when we act and then we think. Think before you act. Think before you respond. Think before you talk. Think before you move. Let me give you another key to a sound mind. Pray before you act. If you just take a moment and say, "I need to pray about that. God, what do I do?" God wants you to have a sound mind. God doesn't want you to have a mind that at the drop of a hat you're just making decisions and running off half-cocked and all the while. You'll make a lot of mistakes that way in life. God wants you to have a sound mind. And you have to learn it. The sooner you learn it, the better off you are. And you're learning it. There's some of you to stop and think before you make a decision. All you got to do is qualify the decision. You say, "How do I do that?" All you do is say, "What would God want me to do?" And then you make the decision to do exactly that. But too many of us don't think that way. We don't have a sound mind. You're to have a mind to work. You're to have a mind that is stayed on God. You're to have a mind that is full of hope. You're to have a humble mind. You're to have a sound mind. And our text verse tells us that we should have a Christ-like mind. It says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Again, we need to learn to think the way Jesus thinks. You say, "How in the world will I know how Jesus thinks?" He printed it. Young people, stay in your Bibles. Those of you that have had the privilege of going to the Christian school, I know you have Bible class. You required Bible reading. I need you to do it without being required by another human being. You're going to need it. This book that the rest of us are following, it's a pure book. It's a holy book. It won't let you down. Don't let it just be the book of Mom. Don't let it just be the book of Dad. Let it become your book. Let it guide you through life. Let this mind be in you, with which also in Christ Jesus. Hey, read your Bible. We gave you one tonight. We want you to read it. We want you to follow it. We want you to live by it. You won't go wrong that way. You need to have the mind of Christ. A senior girl named Sally brought her report card home from school. Her grades were good, mostly A's and a couple of B's. However, her teacher had written across the bottom, it said, "Sally's a smart girl, but she has one fault. She talks too much in school. I have an idea, and I'm going to try it, which I think will break her of this terrible habit." Sally's dad signed the report card and sent it back to the teacher and scribbled a note on the back of the report card to the teacher. It said, "Please let me know if your idea works on Sally, because I'd like to try it out on her mother." You get that slow boat here. Our minds are incredible. The devil is always working at trying to get to your mind. You want to protect your mind. You want to be cautious with your mind. I said earlier, your mind is like it's a gold mine. And God wants to get in there and help to harvest that gold and help to dig it out and make it useful. But the devil works at it constantly too. And God said, you've got to have a mind to work, and you've got to have a mind that's stayed on me, and you've got to have a mind that's full of hope and a humble mind and a sound mind. Make your mind like Christ. There's another description of the mind that I found in the Bible. You need a ready mind. 1 Peter 5:2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You need a ready mind. We'll let that word ready mean what it does to you and I in modern day vernacular, and that is this: ready and willing to fulfill your duties. Probably ready here is a bit of an attitude. Attitude's going to help you a lot in life. Guess what? We all have to go to work. Some are miserable while they're at work. Others are happy. Some doing the very same work. What's the difference? Their mind, their attitude. Just get a ready mind about it. You're going to go out and you're going to earn a living. You're going to become the head of a household. And I'll tell you, it's not easy. Some of you are going to respect your daddy more and more in the next 4 or 5 years. You're going to figure out it wasn't as easy as what you thought. So you ladies, you're going to become wives and housewives, and you're going to rear children, and you're going to work, and you're going to work hard. You're going to figure mama was a special lady. You're going to love your mom more and more as life hits you and you realize what's going on. Now, let me tell you this. You need to have a good attitude about what you do. Have a good attitude about work, and have a good attitude about being a husband, and have a good attitude about being a dad, and have a good attitude about being a wife and being a mom. Have a ready mind. Have your mind ready to do that which is right, and do it with a good attitude. I think a ready mind is eager. I think a ready mind is cheerful. I think a ready mind is hungry and desirous. Make your mind ready. Don't let your mind get lazy. Don't let your mind get lethargic. Keep your mind excited. I'll tell you this. Sometimes my mind gets tired. I spend a lot of time, I study and I work and I work and I study. Every once in a while I just say to myself, remember what you're doing. Remember who you're serving. And I re-energize inside my mind. I say, I want to keep working. I want to keep thinking. I want to keep accomplishing. I try to keep my mind as a ready mind. Not only that, the Bible mentions having a mind of subjection. It says in Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. A mind of subjection, what's it mean? Subject means to be, means to place in submission. Place your mind in submission to the right things and put your mind under the right authority and in an orderly fashion. Put your mind under the authority of the Word of God and let your mind be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And the authorities in life, young people, please do this. When you go to work out there in the workforce, obey the boss. You hardly hear ever anybody say that anymore. We live in such a rebellious society. Learn to obey the boss. And girls, I respect you and I love you and I'm your friend. But the Bible teaches you are to submit to your husband when you get married. And again, nobody says it anymore, but it's still in the Bible. The Bible says we're to submit to the Word of God. And the Bible says we're to submit to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we're to submit to that which is right. Never let your mind become rebellious and lose its submission. The Bible says we're to have a mind of submission. Learn to follow. Yes. Weak fellowship equals a weak mind. Be able to follow. Why? Well, ultimately, you have to follow God and you have to follow the Bible. You say, I've got a dream. You make sure that you're following the dream that God has given you, not one that you dreamed up for yourself. Have a mind of subjection. Then the Bible tells us there is a thing called a fervent mind. 2 Corinthians 7:7 says, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me. A fervent mind means you need to learn some intensity. Fervent, it has to do with a fire, a blaze. Young people, you're just starting your life. Make sure you get excited about it. Whatever you're going to do, do it with some zip. Do it with some drive. Do it with some tenacity. Earlier I was mentioning the baseball league. I like sports because I think sports can teach us to have some drive and it can teach us to have some intensity about life. Don't be lame. Wake up and smell the coffee. Get up in the morning and go make something happen. Wake up and challenge life. Hey, don't let life happen to you. You happen to life. Go do something. Let's change our world. Let's make a difference, young people. Let's not be lethargic about what we do. I mean, you look out there and say there's a world out there and God has a will for my life and I'm going to find it. I'm going to conquer it. I'm going to build something big. I'm going to tear something big down. But go make something happen. Way too much laziness and lack of drive and lack of desire. There's a lot of things your preacher's not. There's a lot that I don't have. Won't be long, I'll be 50 years of age. I've got plans. I've got big things I want to do. I don't plan on slowing down anytime soon. I want to do some things with my life. I want to conquer some land. I want to build something. I want to write something. I want to save something. I want to go somewhere. Young people, don't miss that. Don't miss that. It's a missing element in our world today. This is still one nation under God, and you and I need to help it to be like that. But it won't come if we're lazy in our minds. Won't come. You see, you need a fervent mind. Then the Bible mentions a renewed mind. It says in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." I'll just explain it this way. If your mind gets off track, repent and get back on track. Let God renew it. And just so you know, I hope you don't, and I don't want you to, but there's a good chance you're going to get backslidden someday. Everybody goes through it a little bit in life. And I'll tell you right now, if you young people ever get backslidden, you remember, your preacher loves you. You don't have to run from me, and you don't have to run from your church. You may get backslidden, you might mess your life up a little bit. You just come right back to church. You renew your mind. You come right back. God will forgive you. This church wants you to come back. We don't want you to run from us. We don't want you to... Hey, if you go sin and you're embarrassed, welcome to the club. We've all been there too. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And let God renew that mind, and you come right back to church and you stay on board. And so we need our minds renewed. The Bible teaches also we're to be of one mind. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind." We're to be of one mind. You say, how in the world can we be of one mind if we're of one God and one book? Be careful, young people. Never be the kind of person. Don't go to work and cause division at work. Don't come to church and cause division at church. The Bible says in Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Hey, in your class, create unity. In your home, create unity. In your church, create unity. If America doesn't start sticking together, she's going to fall apart. America is going a million different ways. We're no longer one nation, indivisible. There's so much division, it's pathetic. And back when we were one God with one book in America, America was in a lot better shape. Hey, what am I saying? Be of one mind. And then may I recommend to you that you have a pure mind. 2 Peter 3:1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind." A pure mind is taking, you take the word of God into your mind and then you live it. Desire pure thinking. Don't put bad things in your minds. And look at me, please. Back when I was your age, the amount of filth that was available to my mind was minimal compared to what is available to you. And young people, there are some things you don't want to start doing, listening, or watching, because it is very difficult to get away from it. Don't mess up your mind. Don't mess up your mind. Keep your mind pure. Keep your mind clean. Don't put bad things in your mind. Your mind is like a photostatic copier. It takes pictures and it logs it. You're going to get some of that in there and you're going to regret it. There's going to be a day when you're going to say, "I wish that was not in there. I wish it would go away." Somehow the devil makes it pop up. You say, "Oh, I'm so sorry that's there. I'm sorry those words are there." The best thing I can recommend, don't put it in and it can't pop up. And then finally, the Bible talks about a stirred mind. It says in 2 Peter 3:1, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write you, in both which I stir up your pure minds." It talks about stirring the mind. You know, you've learned a lot. All you have to do in most cases is reach into your mind and stir up what you've learned, and you'll know the answers to life. You've all grown up in Sunday school. You've grown up around the church. All you have to do is stop and think. I'll tell you what I do a lot in life. When decisions come, I have to stir some of the things I've been taught, shake them up a little bit so I can remember them. I often say, "Now what would my dad do right now?" My pastor for many, many years, almost 18 years, a man by the name of Dr. Jack Hiles, every day of my life, many times a day I say, "Now what would my pastor do right now?" I'm not the best example of Christianity in life, but you might help yourself every once in a while when you're making decisions, saying, you know, what would preacher tell me to do right now? I wouldn't ever want to lead you astray. But you have to stir your mind a little bit. Stir it. Because, listen, many of you, you know the basics of life. I'm not saying anything new to you tonight. You say, I already know all this, preacher. Yes, but you got to stir it up so you use it. You've got to make sure that you use what you have learned. You might think that you worked real hard to get that piece of paper called a diploma. And you did. But really, it wasn't the paper we were after. It's what that paper represents. And it represents everything everybody else has given you. We are all the sum total of everybody else's work. And there's just going to be times when you're going to have to stop and ask yourself, what would Mom do right now? What would Dad do right now? What would the preacher do right now? What would my Sunday school teacher do right now? What would my youth director do right now? What would my teacher do right now? You got to stir up your mind. Sometimes what we learn, it kind of settles. And we almost forget about it. But you've learned some wonderful truths and some wonderful principles. You've learned some things, and I want you to continue to use them. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 1 through 5, there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be mindful, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Letting nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let us each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Your mind is like a gold mine. Let God have it. There's yet much territory to conquer. Let's conquer it. Don't misuse your mind. Use it right. If you'll do right by your mind, it'll do right by you. Use it wisely. Let the Bible be your guide in your thinking. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight's service primarily to these graduates to challenge them about the proper use of their mind. Many others, you've heard the sermon. It's good for us all. Not a person here didn't need it. But if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we do wish that you'd get saved. We're going to have an altar call. When we have that altar call, that will give you a moment. If you say, I'm not saved, just leave your seat, walk toward the front. Somebody will take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Somebody here may need to come down here and pray for a moment and say, God, help me to use my mind right. There's somebody here, you put something in your mind that ought not be there. You might want to come down here and say, God, help me to fix it. Hey, all sorts of people in this room, when I talked about don't stop learning, there's some of you, you haven't read a book since you graduated from high school. And be very honest, that's a sin against your mind. God gave you a mind and you ought to be using it. Use your mind for God. God wants your mind. God gave you a mind. Don't waste your mind. Use it for God. You may need the altar. If you've been saved and never baptized or saved and never made it public, why don't you come? I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing if you will. Don't waste your mind. Somebody here tonight needs your mind reading. Your They're off track. They're times away from God. They've got a backslidden mind. Oh, you've got the standards on the outside. You wear your shirts and dresses and you keep your hair cut. And on the outside, you look like a pristine Christian. But on the inside, you have a mind that is not in subjection to God. And you have a backslidden mind. What's your mind? Somebody needs their mind renewed. We have one mind. We have a pure mind. We have a pure mind. Choir, one more time through the song. One more time. Congregation, have a seat there.